Would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today? I'm glad you are with us no matter where you're at. If you're up in Craneville, Illinois, or Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, I always get that wrong, or whether you're in Savannah or Dyersburg or somewhere in between, we're glad you're with us today, and I'm thankful for what God is doing. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're with us today, and we're getting ready to see what God has for us. Would you take your Bible today? Let's make our confession. We begin the year doing this, and let's continue that today. Would you just hold your Bible up? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. Now, let me stop. Are y'all confessing? Come on. I need to hear you. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that today? I believe we'll never, ever be the same. Would you take your Bibles today and go to the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter? And we've been talking about the life of David. We've been using him. We've been discussing potential in all of our lives. In other words, of saying yes to our future. How many of you want to say yes to your future? Right? I know some people who don't. You know, it's like it's always negative. It's always no. It's always we don't want to go there. But I want to encourage us to say yes to tomorrow, yes to our future, yes to our destiny that God has given inside of us. And so today we're going to be starting there. In fact, in just a minute I'll read a verse to you, but let me just set it up. We've read these on a couple of weeks here already. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, is the setting where God speaks to the prophet of the nation of Israel. His name is Samuel, and he says to him, I have rejected King Saul. He hasn't followed my ways, and so I have rejected him, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to a man named Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint the new king of Israel. Well, the Bible says, beginning there in the sixth verse, that Samuel goes, and as he gets there, he sees the oldest son, a son named Eliab, and he says, surely this is God's anointing. He's good looking. He's a man of war. He's all these things. And yet the Bible says that God spoke to Samuel and said, he's not the one. I have rejected him. And so son after son after son comes by, and all seven of Jesse's sons come by him. In fact, the King James Version of the Bible says again, indicating that this happened twice that they came by. And in the 11th verse is where we want to pick up today and begin to launch into. Verse 11. So Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Now, it's kind of bad to be forgotten, isn't it? It's bad when your daddy forgets you, right? And it evidently forgets you twice. And Jesse goes, oh, wait a minute. There's another one. He's out there tending the sheep, and Samuel says to him, you send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrives. Now, in all of our lives, life and reaching our potential and moving into what it is that God has for us is a process. How many of you have found out that life is a process? How many of you know some days it's more a process than others, right? And how many of you ever get a little irritated with the process? What's wrong with the rest of you? I mean, there are moments, there are times, there are seasons that I just don't enjoy what's going on. It's like, come on, Lord, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do that. And God says, no, I gotta process it. I gotta make this happen. I gotta do this. And here's what I want to show you. There in that 11th verse, David has been out by himself. He's just kind of hanging out. And what we find through that is this, is that God uses everything to bring us to our destiny. Don't miss that. Too many of us kind of say, well, I'll be glad to get through this because if I can get through this, then, you know, I can get on to what God has for me. No. God is using everything to get you to your destiny. In fact, God's using David in this season that he's out there by himself. He's a teenager. Most scholars say that he's probably in his young teens. He might have been 15 or so at this point of his life. And he's out there as a shepherd. And if you've ever studied sheep, you'll know that sheep are not the brightest creation that God made. They really aren't. There's a book that came out years ago called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. A man named Philip Keller, who had been a shepherd for years, talks about the whole aspect of sheep. And sheep have to be led, they have to be taken to the right place, and all this. And so David, as a young teenage boy, has been sent out there, and he's just living life. But you know what? He's learning some things. Some things are going down inside of him as he is learning how to take care of sheep. He's learning how to make sure everything is going properly, and on. The other thing about this is that he is alone. He is by himself. Now, I want to say something to you. There are too many of us who always want a crowd around. There's always got to be bustle and hustle, and there's always got to be noise, and you you go to bed with something playing, and you wake up with something else playing, and if we were to take your iPhone away from you or your smart device, you'd lose your mind. They tell us that the average person looks at their cell phone 30 to 50 times every hour, and some of you are way above average. Right? Here's what I want to tell you. There are times in your life where God is going to build some things in you, and the only way that he can do it is when you are by yourself, when you are alone, where everybody else has gone away and you are out there by yourself. And I'm sure David is going, why am I the one that's out here? Well, everybody else is home sleeping in a house and they're eating mama's cooking and I'm out here. But you know what? God was doing something in his life that was preparing him for a great destiny that God had for him. And you know what? He's out there. I mean, he didn't have the internet. He didn't have a radio. He's just out there. He and this. Bah. That's it. I mean, can you imagine? All you hear is bah. No wonder he started singing. Right? It's like, I don't want to hear bah again. I want to just, and so he starts writing songs, and that's where the Psalms come out of. A lot of them are out of David's time out there by himself. David begins, looks around one day, and he said, man, there's nothing to do out here. And he sees some rocks down there, and he picks them up and says, I think I'll build a little sling. He builds a little sling, and he starts, he starts practicing. And guess what? The first few times he tries to do that, couldn't hit anything. He couldn't hit a barn if he tried. But the more he does it, the better he gets. And he's got this old harp, and we think of harps and they're gold and beautiful. I think David had a harp. It was all busted, three strings missing, but he's still saying, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he's practicing while he's out there. He is not allowing the moment that he is in to pass him by. Here's what happens to too many of us. Too many of us are waiting to arrive before we prepare. Well, if I get the job, then I'll get ready for the job. No, you have to get ready for the job before you get the job. Uh-oh. Well, I want to be used greatly in ministry. Well, to be greatly used in ministry. Well, when I'm used by God greatly, I'll start praying and reading the Bible. No, you got to start praying and reading the Bible before you're greatly used by God. All of these things are getting you ready to reach your destiny. What you find here is that as he moves into this process here, 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verse 17, gives us a little insight into what's going on in David's life. It says, so Saul said to his attendants, this is after David's been anointed now, so Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. One of the servants answered, listen to what he said. I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre or the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. Now listen to this next sentence. And the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Here's what you need to understand. The Bible says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with David. Here's what you've got to understand. In the process of life, God allows open doors. God is the one who's going to open the doors before you. You say, well, I'm going to make it happen. No. If you understand, here's what the scripture says. The word of God says, God opens a door and no man can shut it. And God shuts the door and no man can open it. There are times in your life where you are getting a bloody nose, and the reason you're getting a bloody nose is because God has shut the door. Well, amen. Well, I'm going to make it happen. No. I don't claim to have the greatest IQ or be the smartest person in the world, but here's what I know. If there's an open door over here and one that's barred shut over there, let's go through the open door, right? And so God opens the door. The Bible says that God was with David. The thing that we've got to come to is in all of our lives is that we've got to come to that place where God is with us, that we understand that, listen, I think education is wonderful and you ought to get all of it you can. You need to get all the degrees you want. If you want a master's degree, you want a doctorate degree, go ahead and get them. If you want a double doctorate, get them. Just don't ask me to pay for it, all right? I'm all for that, but here's what I know. It's in the process of life where you and I find that God is the one who opens the door. I don't open the door. God opens the door. And when I know that, then I'm ready to step into what it is that God wants me to do. Verse 34 in the 17th chapter, we're going to jump ahead a little bit, and we're going to move into the time where David now is getting ready to go into battle against Goliath. Verse 34, listen to what David said. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." Now here's what are you ready? You ready? Our battles prepare us. You say, "Pastor, I was tracking with you till you said that." See, everybody wants to be victorious. Everybody wants to be more than a conqueror. Everybody wants to have the victory. But to be victorious, to be a conqueror, means that you're going to go through some battles. "Well, Pastor, I just want to have a wonderful marriage." You remember when you were a kid and they'd read "And They Lived"? Come on, you know what it says, right? "Happily ever after." That's why we call it fairy tales. If you're going to have a good marriage, you got to fight through some things. You got to be willing to persevere. You got to say, we're going to make this work. Listen, anybody can leave a marriage. Whoa, it got quiet in the house. I just talked to the campuses now. Anybody can walk out. It takes commitment. You're not always going to feel like, "I just feel so wonderful." I've had moments where I know Sherry didn't feel wonderful towards me. Now, I've always felt wonderful toward her, but. But you know what? We make it work. We sometimes we have what I call intense fellowship. But we're willing. See, here's what you have to understand. It's your preparation that allows you to be ready when the door opens. It's fighting that battle. It's defeating the lion. It's defeating the bear that gets you ready to step into your destiny. If you don't fight the lion, you're never going to be ready for Goliath. See, here's what we need to understand. God is always in the business of preparing us for success. But the Bible says his ways are not what? our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're beyond our understanding. And so all of a sudden, we're in this battle. We're in this thing that doesn't seem good. And we're saying, God, I thought you wanted me to have success. And he says, I do want you to have success. But you have to understand that sometimes it's through a battle that I'm getting you ready to have success. It's sometimes in that moment that you've got to come to and say, wait a minute, I understand that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen? I believe that in our lives. So we've got to come to that. See, here's the deal. 1 Samuel 17:38 talks about that Saul puts on David his armor, his tunic, his coat, this whole thing. And what you have to understand, and he tries to give him direction and all these things that are going on. And it even says in the 18th chapter that from that day forward, he kept David in his household and all that. Here's what I want to tell you. Process is never 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, I can't say, okay, this is always going to be step number one. This is always going to be step number two. This is always going to be step number three. Sometimes it gets turned on its head. And so you've just got to figure out, where am I in this process? If I'm going to do what I can do. Listen, it's easy to do nothing. And you know what I found out? The people who do nothing are the most critical in the world. Have you noticed that? It's easy to criticize if all you're doing is sitting back looking at everybody. Get out there. Get in the game. Let's play. Let's see what it is that God's called us to do, and let's go forth. Now here's what I want to say to you. When you begin to understand this, you can always learn from others. No, I'm going to say that again because some of you don't believe it. You say, you don't know my boss. I don't have to know your boss. You can always learn from others. Do you realize that the Word of God says that David serves King Saul? Now, some scholars, it's according, and I tried to pin this down, and scholars differ on this. Some say that David was anointed at king at 15. Others say he was a little bit older. Wherever you get it, some say he was 25. It doesn't matter. There's a period in here that David is anointed king, and when he is anointed king, he serves Saul for at least 5 years. It could be as long as 15 years. Now, watch this. In the whole time that he's serving King Saul, the anointing of God has lifted off of Saul. And yet David still learns from Saul. See, let me say this to you. You can learn from somebody. Here's what you learn. You either learn what to do or what not to do. I've had great teachers in my life that have taught me wonderful things. And some I've said, man, I want to emulate that. I want to do that. And some I've looked at and go, don't ever do that. And that's what David is doing. David is in this season where he is learning what it is that he should do from Saul, but he's also learning what he shouldn't do from Saul. So it doesn't matter who's in your life. It doesn't matter who God places there. In fact, here's what I want to tell you. If God's put him in your life, you can learn from him. There's a reason, there's a purpose for them being in your life. Now here's where we get into trouble. David is anointed king at 15. We'll use that. He doesn't become king until he's 30. That's a long time, right? Here is what happens. I see people all. Let me just talk about church for a while. I see a lot of times in the church where somebody gets saved and they've got an anointing on their life, and you know, after 30 minutes, we want to make them the pastor, right? Man, there's a great calling on their life. They're wonderful people. I got it. They're anointed, but they need some training. And here's where we go to. We're always tempted to short-circuit the process. We always, well, I'm anointed, let me be king. But at the least, it's going to take you 5 years, David, before you ever wear a crown. And what you find is that even in that season, even once you are anointed king, it's 7 more years before you're the king of the entire nation. For a while, you're only the king of one tribe. Then 7 years later, now, some of us go, man, I'm anointed. Have you ever seen people strut standing still? Are you ready? Are you ready, ready, ready? You ready? You know, they walk up with their card, anointed person of God. Bishop, prophet, king, potentate, wonderful person of God. And if you don't believe it, read my card. It's interesting through the years is how often I find people who, once a church gets, you know, a certain size, everybody feels called to come and minister. You know, it's interesting through the years how many people who wouldn't give me the time of day when we were meeting in the Holiday Inn, all of a sudden now, man, brother, God's just placed you on my heart. No, you just think you'll get a big offering. Why didn't God? See, are you okay? I needed you a whole lot more when we were setting up and tearing down in the Holiday Inn and at Hamilton Hills and all the other places in the ministry that we've done this at than I do when everything's up and going. And yet, it's so often everybody wants the limelight, but we short-circuit the process. We're not willing to go through all the things. He's anointed. He's battle-tested. He gets promoted. And he even has a chance. I mean, think about it. He has a chance to take the throne twice. I don't want to be rude or crude. The Bible says that Saul goes into the cave of Adullam one day where David hangs out for about 7 years. And the scripture says, the King James Version says, and Saul uncovered his feet. And we go, he must have took a nap. Are y'all ready? Saul was going to the restroom. Saul is using the bathroom, and David sneaks up behind him. Now, you think about this. I don't want to paint too much of a word picture for some of you. And cuts off part of Saul's kingly garment. Goes out of the cave, goes on the other side of the hill, screams to Saul and say, look at this. I was this close. I could have killed you. And you know what the Bible says about that when David did that? The Bible says, and David's heart was smote by God. In other words, he got convicted about even doing that. He said, I didn't kill him. Lord, all I did was cut the... And what God says to him is, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. David chooses, think about this, right? David chooses to serve a backslidden king who's trying to kill him for at least 5 years and possibly 15 years before David ever becomes what God's called him to. Could it be that you are in a season where God's called you to serve somebody you don't want to serve? But it's the serving. I hope none of my staff said too loud an amen on that. It's in that season of serving and keeping your heart right that God's teaching you and he's preparing you and he's getting ready to take you to the next level. Now, let me say this to you. In the process, understand this. Whenever you succeed, the battle will intensify. We think, man, I won the battle. Woo! You better woo quickly. Right? Because the next test is coming. The 20th chapter, we won't read it, but David wins victory and great things are happening. And as soon as he does, all kind of hell breaks loose in his life. Have you ever been in one of those moments, man, this is going to be my year. This is my season. Woo, I'm ready to go. And you win a battle. And then it's like, you're like the prophet. You go out, you kill 4,000 prophets of Baal in one day. I mean, you cut their heads off. I mean, that's pretty intense. And the next morning, you get a letter from a demon-possessed queen, Jezebel, who says, I'm going to kill you. And you run off in the desert, and here's your prayer. God, let me die. Now, my thought's always been, if the prophet really wanted to die, all he had to do was stay where he was. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. How many of you know we pray things that don't really mean them? Right? I mean, Jezebel said, I'll kill you. Stay where you are. I'm going to kill you. He runs out and says, Lord, let me die. David is in kind of one of those seasons. Here's what you got to understand. Every victory is going to be followed by a test. Because what you have to understand, David goes to a place named Gath, and he acts insane. He drools on himself. He dishevels himself. He looks horrible. But he's doing all this so that he doesn't get killed. And what we have to understand is that in all of our lives, the moment that we gain foothold, something is going to try to pull us back down. I don't know if this is true. I've read this. I'm not a person who's, you know, up in Maine in those areas where they gather crabs. And they say you don't have to put a lid on the thing that holds the crab. If you've got more than one crab in a bucket, you don't ever have to put a lid on it. The reason being is as the one crab starts to crawl up, the other crabs will grab them and pull them back down. A lot of us know some crabby people. Right? It's like, you're trying to go somewhere. I'm trying to soar high. I'm trying to do what it is God's called me to do. I'm trying to be the man. I'm trying to be the woman that God has destined me to be. And there's always somebody. There's always a test. There's always a trial. There's something that's going to come along. But you know what? The Word of God says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. The last thing is this. You're always going to need others to succeed. In your life, you are always going to need others to succeed. If God's called you to do something, it's going to take somebody. When the scripture says, it says David left and he escaped in chapter 22, and again, for the sake of time, we don't read it. But it says he escapes to the cave of Adullam. And watch who it says comes to David. It says all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, gathered around him. Now that's the people you want. They're broke, they're mad at everybody, and they're depressed. You ever been around people like that? You remember that old song from Hee Haw, Gloom, Despair? An agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive. That's all they sing. And all these people come to David. And I'm sure David looked at him and went, really? This is who you sent me. God, you anointed me. You called me to be a mighty man. You told me I was going to be king. Really? This is who I'm supposed to have. Here's what's fun about this story. You keep reading it. There's 400 of these men. And as you read through Scripture, what you find is that the Bible begins to declare that these are David's mighty men of valor. They were in debt, they were in distress, they were disgusted, they were messed up. But as they hung around the anointing, come on, some of you need to hear this. If you get in the right place that God has, then whatever is going on in your life, the anointing, that's why you got to watch things. That's why you got to be careful who you hook up with. The Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked together. What is that talking about? Well, listen, there's an anointing on houses. I'm gonna say this. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but ride with me for a minute. There's an anointing on churches, and you get in the wrong church, you're going to get messed up. But you get in the right church, in the right house, around the right anointing, and it will take you from being in distress and being in debt and being depressed and broke down and not having anything, and it will promote you, and all of a sudden they'll start talking about you as mighty men, mighty women of God, and all the great things that God has for your life. See, here's the deal. Anything great that we're going to do requires somebody else to help us achieve it. And God's going to bring those people to you. So don't disparage who God puts in your life. You remember we talked way back when we started this series that we asked for a harvest, God gives us seed. There's a lot of times the seed looks dry, dead, messed up, but God says, this is what I'm giving you, because if you will take what I'm giving you, I can change it into your harvest. Let me close with this. Ready? It's not in your notes, but you can write it. Number one is, God never gets in a hurry. I heard a lot of shouting on that. We get in a hurry. God says, I'm anointing you 5 years, 15 years, and then another 7 years. It's a course. But come on, God. I mean, what? I'm the kind of guy who I would just say, well, we'll just wait the day before you're going to make me king. Don't be pouring that oil on me and I got to stand around with a greasy head for years. Won't you wash your hair? Now it's the anointing. You look a little ragged. It's the anointing. Something's wrong with you. I'm going to be king. You don't look like a king. You look crazy. You look messed up. God's working. He's not in a hurry. We all know the scripture. We don't like the scripture, but we know it. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day with God. Secondly is this, is that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hear that, of your faith. The process has to be filled with faith. If I don't have faith, I'm never going to fulfill my destiny. I promise you, there were moments that David said, what in the world has gone wrong? Why am I in the cave of Adullam? Have you ever been in a cave? They stink. They're wet. They're nasty. It's dark. There are bats flying around. David says, why am I here? But he stays in faith. Some of you today need to stay in faith. You say, Pastor, last year, I went through the worst year I've ever experienced. My body, I was racked with pain. I went through a disease. I've had all kinds of things go wrong. My family fell apart last year. My business went off the rails. Listen, just hang on in faith, because God is not just the author of something. The Bible says He is also the finisher of your faith. And lastly is this, God wants the best for us. Do you believe that today? God wants the best for us. Let me prove it to you. The Word of God says that God looked at this world and He saw us in such a mess. And it said that God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Word of God says that He sent His only begotten Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. He tells us in the Old Testament, I know the plan I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for success, plans for a future. This is what God says about your world. And you've listened to me today, and I know good and well that there are people who are listening today who, as you look at your life, you know that you are not in right relationship with God. But He wants you to have success. And your success and fulfilling your potential starts when you come into that place of saying, Lord, I give my life to You. Become my Lord and my Savior. Amen.